Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in about 15 minutes, we bring back the snitch line. We haven't had the snitch line on the show in quite some time. Back by popular demand, so you can start sending those snitches in to 913-586-7965. But let's talk some fantasy football. 1 week in the books, on to week two. We go out to Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. He joins us thanks to Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. I'll just start with at least something on my mind, and I'm sure a lot of people, and that is, where are we at with Christian McCaffrey? A lot of people drafted him in the number one overall. Maybe he got lucky and he was there at two. He didn't play last week. It sure seems like he's not playing this week.
Yep. It's and honestly, I'd prefer that they keep him fresh, but I think the emerging storyline is going to be, if Jordan Mason is as good as he looked on Monday night, he's going to be a factor this year. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, and you know you've got Christian McCaffrey, who's probably in the final quartile of his career, don't you kind of go to a committee now? And even though he's never been a committee guy, Kyle Shanahan's always had his workhorse back, right? But now, don't you just play to keep both of these guys fresh through the whole season? And that would be the worry for me is, you know, instead of getting the 20 touches a game we're used to for Christian McCaffrey, that it's going to turn into 12 for a lot of this season when he does come back. So Mason looks great. Maybe this offense can make anybody look great. But the worry for me, I guess, is for Christian McCaffrey is going forward, he's not the workhorse back anymore.
So who's going to be the player people are more happy they ended up either stealing late in the draft or picking up? Jordan Mason or J.K. Dobbins?
Oh, wow. I mean, J.K. Dobbins right now looks like the clear path to being the starter. And now, granted, Jim Harbaugh has said that he's going to use a hot hand at running back, and that was Dobbins clearly in the opener. But more importantly here, I think that's going to be the case going forward. Gus Edwards just looked bad. Just 2.4 yards per carry, and across the entire league, Gus Edwards had the second worst rushing yards over expectation at negative 1.6 yards. So he was actually under expectation by a yard and a half. And Edwards looks slow. Well, J.K. Dobbins posted a 20-mile-per-hour gallop on that long run that he had. So now here comes Carolina. So I love Dobbins this week. I think he's a great start. And if Gus can't get paid here, we might be looking at dropping Gus outright, or maybe you certainly can't start him if he can't do anything here against Carolina.
In a weird way, because of the way he coached in college, Charch, and because what we saw in week one, does this make Justin Herbert a worse fantasy quarterback to play?
Well, maybe, just because the volume might not be there. Because we know if Jim Harbaugh can run, he's going to run. That's his bit. And same with the new offensive coordinator they've got as well, Greg Roman, who comes from a running background as well. So, yeah, the volume might not be there. And you may have to just really pick your spots on Herbert. But also, it doesn't help that he lost Keenan Allen. He lost Mike Williams. DJ Chark is out. And now also Josh Palmer's hurt. So you roll all that together, and you really can't start Herbert this week.
Talking to Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. One other injury, Puka Nacua, we know he's on IR, and then what, they have a week six bye, so you might be waiting until week seven to utilize him. What's an option if somebody didn't pick anybody up on the waiver wire? How do you approach that? How does that impact some of the wide receivers in that offense?
Well, first and foremost, 21 targets for Cooper Kupp. Oh my God. And if that's, this puts Cooper Kupp right back into the conversation of your weekly, like, is he my number one wide receiver this week? Is he my number two? Is he my number three? He is, that's the kind of volume that Cooper Kupp's going to get. And we've seen it before, right? With Kupp in the past. So we know that Sean McVay is perfectly willing to just feed Kupp like crazy. And that's going to be a continuing storyline. Meanwhile, DeMarcus Robinson is going to be very, very safe, and he's going to get a fair amount of work. Out of nowhere, Tyler Johnson, a first-round pick like 6 years ago, who has done nothing, it turns into somebody you could potentially use as a spot starter, had one big gain in the game that they played last week, and probably here, again, spot starter against the right team. And by the way, Arizona this week is the right team. You could start him too.
Charge, what about a team near and dear to your heart? I don't know if it's called Sam Darnold. I think some people were calling it a renaissance. I'm not sure if you were ever good, you're able to say it's a renaissance of what? His college playing career. But he looked really good in week one. But the Giants might be the stinkiest team in the entire league, sans the Panthers. So is Sam Darnold an actual play this week against San Francisco, an obviously much more difficult opponent?
Yeah, I think he is. He completed his first 12 passes to open his career as a Viking, which is awfully impressive. And, you know, the 49ers, obviously a very good overall defense, but where they're really elite is as a run defense. As a pass defense, they're much more susceptible, and they can unleash Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd, but the Vikings just neutralized an equally good defensive line with Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns. So I still think they can get a little something done here. Vikings will probably be without Jordan Addison, who re-injured his ankle. That's a loss. No TJ Hockenson still. So, you know, the limited weapons probably cap his upside. But is Sam Darnold startable? Yes. You know, within a cap that, you know, you're probably looking at the best case scenario is probably about 240, 250 yards and a couple touchdowns.
All right, let's go locally here in Kansas City. A player on the betting side that I'm excited about this week for an anytime touchdown, I think he's about 6-1. First touchdown, 25-1, is Samaje Perine. He just missed what would have been a touchdown last Thursday in the opener against the Ravens on a pass there in the flat. Is he somebody that if you're in some big-time running back trouble that you can give a look?
Yeah, you know, I want to watch and see more what they do with Perine. The utilization wasn't high, and Steele was out there taking some of the work that I thought maybe he would get, and that part worries me a little bit. You know, Perine ran 8 routes. So, okay, that I did like to see him out in running a couple of routes anyway, and he got a couple of targets. I guess the question for me is, at the goal line, could he be a factor? Maybe. I just think Pacheco's your guy there, too, and I don't know. I think Perine's like a 3-carry, 3-catch-a-game guy, and I don't know that makes him fantasy relevant enough for me based on what we've seen so far.
Seems like it's just a guy you're banking on a touchdown for, which is when you're really desperate. On the fantasy end, I want to ask you about the game tonight, but before that, I'm going to ask you a personal fantasy question because sometimes you shouldn't care about your own teams, but I drafted this guy in 3 damn league charges and I need to know if I'm screwed. Can you tell me how the Saints can score 6,000 points and Chris Olave not matter? Am I screwed? Am I screwed on Chris Olave?
Probably not. And it was a dreadful game for him in terms of the box score, but just the game script, right? The Saints got out way, way ahead and early, and they just didn't pass that much, and they didn't need to throw to Olave. And you almost get the feeling at some point the Saints just went, you know, he's our best player. Let's keep him healthy. You know, let's go somewhere else with the ball, and they're throwing to their tight ends, and they're running. And so, I still like Olave. We know he's still a focal point of that offense, and I am not hitting the panic button by any means yet. I mean, it's, you know, the panic button's on the other side of the field. That's all your Panthers, right? Is there anybody you dare start from the Panthers going forward?
What about Joe Burrow? He's going to be in Kansas City. We know they've usually played close games, but that looked like a different Cincinnati team last week. We know that T. Higgins looks like he's not going to play on Sunday. So how does that impact fantasy football wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase and, of course, Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I don't like this matchup. Ja'Marr Chase might still be knocking some rust off. Didn't look completely like himself last week against the Patriots. And without Higgins, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think Chase draws shadow coverage from Trent McDuffie like most of the game. And he frequently shadows, and he especially shadows when the opponent doesn't have a proven number 2 receiver. And with all due respect to Andre Yosevash, that's not much of a threat. So I think Chase gets a lot of Trent McDuffie. McDuffie gave up 22 scoreless yards in his coverage against Baltimore. That's it. And so I just don't see enough quality targets coming for Burrow, and I don't like him very much here. And by the way, you may have seen video of Burrow repeatedly flexing his wrist on the sidelines during last Sunday's games. And when asked about it, Burrow says that he's just a habitual wrist flexor. That he flexes his wrist all the time. He flexes at home. He flexes at the facility. He flexes in the huddle.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that. Sure. Drew, our producer, does that all the time, too.
Right. Maybe that's the case. I never noticed it before, but habitual wrist flexor.
Charge, game tonight. They've already announced that Raheem Mostert's out. They have not yet, you know, like, and let's say Achane is out. For the sake of this argument, let's say he doesn't play tonight either. What do you do about running back 2? Because I feel like every time I try to guess on a Kyle Shanahan or Mike McDaniel offense, I zig when I should have zagged. So everyone will say it's Jalen Wright, and somehow Jeff Wilson will end up with 25 carries.
And it would be Jeff Wilson, right? He was active last week. The rookie they drafted, Jalen Wright, was inactive last week. So if Mostert's ruled out, if Achane doesn't go, presumably Jeff Wilson is your starter. But, you know, they'll work in Jalen Wright as well, and they both become plausible plays. We frequently talk about the Miami runners as being like owning a Lamborghini, right? When they're actually running, they're great, but they're broken down constantly. And, you know, it's always a problem for these guys. Now, I think the real question is, if Achane's active for the game, now what do you do? You know he's laboring on a bad ankle. You know he gets hurt all the time. The risk-reward proposition is gigantic. If he does end up just taking all, if he's healthy and he takes all of Raheem Mostert's work, then ineffective, and Achane plays the whole game, you could be looking at a giant game. But he could also, like, carry number one, he could re-injure his ankle and he's out. So, I mean, massive, massive risk-reward proposition for Devon Achane tonight.
What about wide receivers? You probably go way back with fantasy stats. Performances, if someone were to get handcuffed before tonight's game, what could that mean for their fantasy expectations?
It worked out pretty well last week.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well last week. How? By the way, I most teams, they even for their home games, everybody's at a downtown hotel or they're at a hotel near the stadium, and everybody like takes the team bus over for like exactly these reasons. I wonder if the Dolphins don't change their protocol on this, and rather than have players just sort of drive themselves in, they do something like this, which would not surprise me very much, but. Yeah, let's hope there are no last minute arrests happen.
I think Tyreek will have a good game tonight, no matter what happens. All right, Charge, we appreciate it, man, and hopefully in our listener guillotine league and in our media guillotine league that nobody spends $666 again like they did this week.
I know. Don't ever spend that much money on anybody, no matter how good you think he is. But hey, look. We'll roll with it. If everybody else wants to make those mistakes, fine. We'll just continue to hoard our money, and we'll be dominating in November, baby.
There you go. Thanks, Charge.
Thanks, friends. Bye-bye.
Paul Charchi and GuillotineLeagues.com. He joins us thanks to Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. And yes, in our, not our listener guillotine, but a media one we're in, someone spent $666 on CeeDee Lamb. Crazy amount of money of your $1,000 budget for the entire season to spend in after 1 week. Crazy amount. Especially when it was $300 more than the next closest bid.
I think I was the next closest bid.
Yeah.
I really think my team stinks in that league, so I made a very aggressive bid.
How much?
Like $333.
So they doubled you up, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone says we're bad for that shout-out.
Were you listening to us talk to Charge? Did you catch anything?
Yeah, you guys were talking about the water bottle.
And the wrist.
Incident.
Wrist flexor. And I said you're like our producer, wrist flexor.
I do not flex my wrist that much. At least knowingly.
Are you...
All right. Okay.
Are you concerned about how Joe Burrow picks up a water bottle?
No. The video's blown way out of proportion.
You had picked it up like...
Is he a human being?
He picked it up, if you're watching our video stream, not from the side, it was just like a, I don't know. Like,
he raises his shoulder. He doesn't move. He looks like he raises his shoulder up. It was like a claw machine move sort of thing more than anything else. I don't know. I thought it was interesting, but like the wrist is not a problem right now. Okay. It's okay.
We will get back into this matchup on Sunday coming up in 25 minutes or so. But we said we wanted to bring it back. It's been a while since we had the snitch line on Cody and Gold. 913-586-7965. Something you've been trying to get off your chest. You know, something you witnessed a coworker do. Something that you witnessed anybody do. Maybe you had Arrowhead last week on Thursday.
Maybe you set off an alarm at college.
Whatever it may be. 913-586-7965. You can text in. You could call in. I know some people are, it's anonymous. Even calling. We're not going to mention your name. Use a fake name.
Text in while you guys were having your conversation with Charge. Yeah. Snitching on my neighbor, had a bathroom flood and spill into the condo below them, and then moved out before paying the damages.
Dang. Woo. Man, that's ice cold. You're going to flood someone's entire room and then not? Oh.
Now, can't you go out? I mean, before paying the damages, I mean...
Can't they? Yeah, they still know who he was.
Yeah, they're not off the hook entirely. Now you're going to have to get attorneys involved, I guess. Here's another one from the 816. Someone said they are just fired. We'll leave the name out. Just fired from a national steakhouse chain in Lee's Summit after 3 years. Inadequate performance not hitting my bones. The other meat cutter hit his bones. because he sends out.
What's that mean?
Bones? Or are they trying to say bonus? It is bones, like as in cutting the meat. I don't know. Sends out expired meat. He's accusing an employee of sending out expired meat. Underweight steaks.
So be careful. Be careful at any steakhouse in Lee Summit. Apparently, for undercooked steaks.
No, underweight. No,
underweight
no.
steaks. Sorry, undercooked.
We've had enough steakhouse issues in this city over the last 6 months. But basically, I wonder if it's the same guy that said he was in a meat cutting competition. Like,
oh, maybe
8 months ago.
Maybe. I don't want to say for sure, but at least seems plausible. From the 913, I saw my boss walk out of the bathroom without washing his hands and then proceeded to shake someone's hand 1 minute later. If you're asking for permission to snitch the person whose hand he shook, absolutely. You know, Rex Hudler once told me he really hated shaking hands with people like when he was a player. And I was like, well, why? He's like, these people come up here and ask you for an autograph. They're probably picking their ass, picking their nose. I don't know what they've been doing with their hands.
He's not wrong.
Hudler might be onto something
I think he's right.
Listen to that guy. Just tell him that self, you know? I absolutely think that that's the
Someone
case.
Says, this isn't me snitching, but this is me calling out Kyle Van Noy as a huge snitch. We played that audio yesterday. Linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens complaining about the Chiefs trainers.
What the heck did he say? They were double fisting styrofoam cups.
Exactly what he said. It was a weird thing to comment on. Was that? Oh man! From the 816. When I'm home at lunch, my wife isn't home. I'll sneak my dog table scraps. She thinks it leads to begging, but he'll beg anyway. A few scraps won't hurt him.
Yeah.
This is a great thing to talk about in the snitch line. Is that there is always things you will do when the other person's not there that you're like, yeah, I understand it bothers you, but it doesn't bother me. And so if you're not around.
Do you have an example?
I think that is actually a great example.
Do you have an example?
Do I? To me? Yes. No, I'd never do that. I'm the same person whether my wife's there or not, you know?
We're not going to read this one about dogs. No, thank you. We'll stay away from that these days. What else do we have here? 913-586-7965 is the snitch line on a Thursday.
Someone
says,
in 816, in sixth grade, I pooped my pants in class, and I acted like it wasn't me. Just real quick.
How did you do that?
How did you act like it wasn't you? If you smelled like poop, what was the out?
How did you walk normal? Were you walking normal? Did you sit down?
I don't think so. I don't think you can get away with that.
No. From the 816, they saw someone fake scanning their groceries at the self-checkout. Saw them shortly after they said at the lottery machine buying scratch-offs. So they weren't paying for their groceries, but they were able to buy the scratch-offs. Isn't there, I don't remember which chain, so I don't want to say it. One of the chains, I thought, closed a lot of their self-checkout lanes because of theft.
Yeah, there were a few.
Yeah, I thought I saw that here in the last month or so.
Yeah, I think so.
Unfortunately.
But also, I'll just say this. Maybe those things are happening. Not your problem. That guy's fake scanning? You don't need to go to the...
But he's snitching.
No, he can snitch here. I'm saying don't snitch to the employee at whatever retail store. Don't go to them and be like, hey, that guy's fake scanning.
Yeah.
Not your problem. Don't get between them and that. Don't get between them. You don't want that trouble in your life.
Yeah.
Just let the man fake scan. If they catch him, they catch him. If they don't, they don't. You know?
Here we go. All of us at one point in time probably have lived in an apartment and, all the different Wi-Fi networks pop up. Someone says, confession. They said they know the Wi-Fi password for their neighbor upstairs. I turn off his Bluetooth speaker all the time because he plays it so loud, he's losing his mind.
That's really cool. That's awesome. That actually is really cool.
Oh, my God. So if that's been happening to you, it's your neighbor.
He's playing his music too loud, so he's able to control it.
Follow up. Have you asked him to turn it down, or is that just like a confrontational moment?
Probably. It seems like he's enjoying being able to do this now, though.
Do you think there's people that are bothered, like, I'll watch TV outside or watch... My daughter will listen to music outside and listen to it kind of loud and, like, dance around.
Yeah.
I
think it depends on time.
Do you think there's people who are bothered by my kid?
Time and place.
She's not doing it at 11 o'clock at night. She's 8.
Yeah, the time matters. Is it at 7 o'clock in the morning or at 1 a.m.? No.
It might... 7 in the morning's more likely.
How
but
loud?
She more
I mean,
like,
could I hear it from inside my house? Like, if I was your neighbor?
Well, inside your house, no. But if you were sitting outside on your deck,
you're good.
I think if you're outside and can hear other outside activities, that's just on you. That's a risk, you know?
Jeez. Some of these. I forgot. We haven't done these in a while.
It's been a little while. From the 913, my brothers vandalized my girlfriend's car because she's hotter than his. F that dude. I know you're listening.
Oh.
Ooh. Wow. Oh, okay. Little family drama.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me. You got any beef with your family members right now? Or are you guys square right now?
We're good. We're good.
I don't think I've ever had beef. Beef enough where I'm like not talking to anybody in my family.
Man, no. I mean, you know, like a tiff, maybe. But that's it. Okay. I mean, we can keep taking your snitches, but it's getting bleak over there in the snitch line.
Someone said they had relations with a woman. They gave her a certain disease, and they watched their friend have relations a week later. And I was too ashamed, they said in the text, to admit what they've done. Oh, gosh. Jeez. Uh-huh. That's one that Cody glossed over there on the old snitch line.
I told you, man. It's getting bleak over there. The text line's
getting all spicy snitch line today.
That's what we took a time off of it, and it's getting dark.
Well, that's what we're looking for, you know? Someone says they use the infrared IR blaster on their phone to turn off TVs in public that are playing a certain news station they don't like.
Wow, so they're just turning people's channels off. Have you ever used one of those?
No. Have you?
No. I used to use, one app I thought was really underrated for a long time was like TuneIn or whatever, where you could hear the play-by-play of any TV. I always thought that was kind of a nice little touch.
Yeah, is it TuneIn or what's the name of it?
I don't remember.
I know
it's
what app
like
you're
that.
Talking about.
Okay, I don't know if it's TuneIn or not, no.
And there's so many people doing this crazy stuff in their city. Someone says from the 816, I know my younger sister's skipping class and my parents pay for her school. She tells me not to tell them. Should I snitch?
No.
No.
All right, hold on.
The fact that you're asking the question, I think, answers it for you.
Hold on. No, how old is your sister?
If she's in school, so college, I'm assuming,
there's
right?
private high schools.
I'm just assuming college. Maybe I'm
assuming high school would rat them out.
Yeah, I'm assuming
if it's college.
Yeah,
they can always, you know, people skip school and college. They'll see those grade cards eventually, and if it's not going great, they'll have something to say about the amount that she's attending or not attending class. If it's college, no. If it's high school, I mean, they got to get through at least high school.
I agree, we'll find out from the texter, but I'm guessing it was college. I could be wrong.
They said in college. I don't think it. Yeah.
Someone says, "Damn, welcome to the Jerry Springer text line." I told you,
this
man.
This is what happens.
Weird.
It's
today.
Why we paused the snitch line for months. But
it's got to build up so that more bad things can happen. You know.
Yeah, we're probably not going to do this every week. It's going to be maybe twice a month, once a month. That way we have plenty for everybody to share.
Someone from the 913, I didn't want to finish work last Friday, so I went and flipped the breaker off on my house and told them my power went out. In a way, you weren't wrong. Your power was out. Were they
the
asking?
Cause.
The All cause right. was a different thing.
And the last one, someone says they have a digital copy of the Hallmark movie, Chief's Christmas movie, that is releasing in November. If they don't pay them $250,000, it's going online. That is our last text on the snitch line. Go ahead and just send that to me. Thank you very much. Up next, we will get to what's trending and back into what's happening out west with college football. And could it actually impact us in Big 12 or SEC country?
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, we learned today at Chiefs practice, no Hollywood Brown once again. So that is still no practices all week long. The Chiefs play Sunday. We know how this typically goes. He's not playing on Sunday. It's week two of the season. If it was a playoff game, different story. It's week two of the season. They're not going to push this thing. Can't blame them whatsoever. We'll keep our eyes on, I think, week three to see if the Falcons
Do you think he'll even play week three?
I got to say, if he's not practicing fully by next Wednesday, then no. I mean, it's the same thing. If he's limited like next Tuesday or something, then I think he's on track. But yeah, right now, it seems like next week will be the week to watch. I thought when we were at training camp and we were talking about the injury at that time, we said, hey, Falcons is probably the target date. And then something happened like a week where all of a sudden everybody started to get more optimistic. Like maybe he could come back sooner. Dr. David Chow was on with Carrington back during training camp, I remember. And remember, he said, he mentioned the word pup list, but he thought it could be more like 4 to 6 weeks, as in 4 to 6 games.
But I think they would have pup listed him if they thought it was
that long.
If they thought it was more than four. I still think he'll get in under the four. I just think he's going to play game four, which is a game earlier, though.
Against the Chargers. List
against the Chargers. That's when I think this is the first time. Think about the same thing. You wait the first week, you get all the rest time in the world. Now you get 10 more days before Cincinnati, 6 more days before the next game. Then it'll be 7. It'll be 8 days because they play the Monday night against whatever it is, they play on the Sunday night. You get seven more days before week four. That's what I do think that eventually it will be the case. We'll see, but that's what I think. Next up on What's Trending, Royals did drop the final game of the series against the New York Yankees last night in extra innings. Unfortunately, Chris Bubich, who was dominant in the 11th inning, or 10th inning, was unable to get it done in the 11th as the Royals failed to score in the second inning of extra innings. Royals off today, start a three-game set against Pittsburgh. They have yet to announce any of their starters for the upcoming series. Yesterday it was announced Michael Lorenzen was going to make one more rehab. As it sits right now, the final three games of the series against the Braves, it would be Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, and Michael Wacha. You would think that that's who they'd want for the three-game series possible in the postseason.
Next up on What's Trending, news overnight that the Pac-12 is trying to stay alive in some form or fashion by announcing that in 2026 it's going to add Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and San Diego State to pair up with Oregon State and Washington State. We got enough states covered. They're all states. That's the requirement, I guess, to be in the new conference. That is something that will require two more.
Got to be a state school.
Yeah. Two more schools are required to join to get them to eight to be a recognized conference at the FBS level. The Pac-12 and the departing schools are going to be on the hook for around $110 million in exit fees and penalties to the Mountain West. So the trickle-down effect is, all right, so then what does the Mountain West do? What does the two additions to the Pac-12, which we know are coming at some point, what does that do to another conference? Is it coming from the FCS level, FBS level? All that kind of stuff plays a role in this. We're going to talk more about this after What's Trending, but that was a surprise overnight.
Next up on What's Trending, big game tonight in the AFC East. Bills, Dolphins tonight over on Amazon Prime. Could have potential one seed complications down the road, or division winner complications down the road. As it sits right now, Mike McDaniel met with the media about an hour ago. Didn't meet with him, but spoke to a reporter. Said that David Etienne is still a game time decision for the game tonight. So for fantasy football players, not yet known, which will be the case. The Bills are the healthier team going in that game tonight. Miami's running backs got banged up pretty much immediately. But the Dolphins are also a favorite for a game at home against Buffalo. Slight favorite. Slight favorite.
Last four meetings, the Bills have won. And Josh Allen has averaged around 333 yards passing. Weather is supposed to be maybe rainy. We'll see.
Yeah. I think a lot of people like
very
the under.
Humid. Yeah, I'm on the under 48.5 tonight. And I'm you and I were talking during the break. I'm talking myself more and more into just taking the Bills on the money line.
Because you can get the Dolphins -3, but that's kind of, as we know, a key number. Why not just take them on the money line if you think they're going to win?
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Of course, the drive coming up after us here, about 20 minutes or so, on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan. I mentioned during What's Trending, I just want to talk about this a little bit more, which was the Pac-12. Last night there was reports, and now it's official, as all the schools that are joining this Pac-12 conference now announced it, but they're rebuilding the league. We all know what happened this past summer, and Stanford and Cal and Oregon, et cetera, they're all gone. They all left either for Big Ten or ACC. Some left for the Big 12. Like, so we all saw the remnants of that left two schools, Washington State and Oregon State. They played a schedule that featured Mountain West schools this year. They had an agreement. News came out a week ago that they did not reach an agreement to do it again. And now we know why, because they said, we don't need a schedule, you guys. We'll just use our brand name, Pac-12, and we'll just steal your best teams and best schools. And that's what they've done. Now, do I think they're suddenly a Power 5 conference?
They're
ready to
a
go?
Real no. player in the college? No, no. They're a group of five.
Do I think this is their best path to surviving and keeping the Pac-12 name? And if you're Oregon State and Washington State, is this your best path for right now? Yeah. I mean, you are going to try to become, I'm assuming, the best group of five conference in the country. We can be skeptical about it all we want, but that's what I think they are trying to do. Who are the next two teams? I think they're waiting, Cody, to announce the next two teams because they don't know who it is yet, number one. But also, they want to see what happens with the ACC. They lost Stanford and Cal to the ACC. They can't leave with the current agreement. But if you think the ACC could implode,
if you think Clemson and Florida State are getting stolen by the SEC or the Big 12,
then we'll get a whole nother round of realignment. So I think that's what they're waiting for. Remember, it's not taking place until 2026. This is not even happening next fall.
They help themselves because the truth is they're never going to be a Power 5 again. It's a Power 4 for now, and I think eventually it'll be a Power 3, if you know the truth. So it'll never be a Power 5 conference again. But they weren't even a group of five conference.
They were nothing.
They weren't a conference. They did not exist. They were not a thing. They were not an entity. They could call themselves the Pack, whatever the hell they want. They didn't exist. They had two schools who were left out in the cold when literally every other team in the conference found a home. They were just sitting around as the only two completely unwanted entities. For the other teams, they knew the Mountain West was going to fall apart before. So it's like breaking up with your girlfriend before you know she's going to break up with you. You know what? Yeah, we'll get out because this conference isn't going to last forever anyway. Pac-12's got better name recognition, but it's not a better football conference. It's the same. It's not a better position to be in from a this conference will never get broken up. It's about the same. But you go to the better brand.
That's what
you make the action. You choose your own fate versus someone choosing your fate for you. The same reason why it was a good idea for Missouri to leave. Don't let somebody else decide your fate if you're Boise State. Go choose your own fate. That makes sense to me.
And time has changed a lot, too, because I could tell you, having worked out and covered Boise State at the time, back then that was like the dream to go to the Pac-12. Like that's what they wanted.
It doesn't mean the same.
It's not the same thing in 2024 as it was in 2016. You know what I mean? So, and I think they recognize that. I talked to some people this morning. There's excitement there, people I still know, but they recognize, like, yeah, of course, this is not Oregon and USC are not still in the conference here. They recognize that, but they had nothing to lose, really, if you're a San Diego State, a Boise State, a Colorado State, any of these schools that are jumping over, because you're retaining the better teams from the Mountain West, and you are playing Oregon State and Washington State, and then you're hoping that you can get two more schools out there and see what happens. The Mountain West, like, it's not a downgrade. If worst case scenario, you're in the same type of conference. Best case scenario, it's a little bit better, and you're the dominant group of five if you can surpass the American one day.
A serious question. If you're Boise State or Colorado State, can't you make an argument that you're better than Oregon State and Washington State from football program standpoint?
I mean, their fans would make that argument. I think they have an argument to be made based off of program prestige,
name recognition.
I'm not even being biased.
Of course they do.
They know Boise State, the name, because of course, Fiesta Bowl and things like that, the blue turf, than they do over a Washington State.
If I were a couple of these teams, I'd be making the argument, I'm saving your ass. It's not the other way around. What the hell legacy does Washington State, Oregon State have? They also have the stink of, again, they got left behind out in the cold. They got stuck on a curb by themselves, like shivering in the cold, man. They were done. People left them for dead. And so, like, that doesn't come off as like a you're a power program to be played with. People took all kinds of teams in these conference realignment, and they still left your ass out. Rutgers got scooped up in a conference realignment, and they still left your ass out. Different time, but
they got scooped up. Why?
New York
TV market.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all a conference realignment. We know that. That's why they're going after Colorado market. They want Colorado State. They want the Denver market. We talked about Berkeley earlier. If they tried to get Cal back. Well, that's because
it's
an hour outside of San Francisco. They want California market base.
It's one of two things. You either need to have the TV market or you need to have national brand recognition.
Because that's where Boise helps. Because they're like the 100th probably biggest market.
Boise has like right there, 97 or something. So that, you know, what's the trickle down effect? Is there any? Like Mountain West is going to have to add new schools. So are they going to go down a level? Are they going to try to poach from a Sunbelt type conference? If you're looking for two more teams in this new look Pac-12, are they going to poach just UNLV, who didn't agree to come in this first batch, or are they going to try to go east? We don't know. That's the big question.
Is it pride? Why haven't, like, other conferences talked about it? When the Mountain West saw the writing on the wall that everyone's going to steal their four best properties, why isn't it that one of these times these conferences who realize they're going to get picked apart and they're going to be the carcasses of the dead bodies of conference realignment, why not strengthen yourselves by being something together? Hey, sorry, our name's better, Mountain West, and I know you like your name. Tough.
That's kind of what
they're
doing.
Drop it.
That's kind of what they're doing.
That's what the schools are doing, but why aren't the conferences approaching this once in a while and just kill yourself off to save yourself, you know?
Because you have a commissioner of the Mountain West and a commissioner of essentially of the Pac-12, and you
merge
have,
and
you
find
have
money, a job and just like any and, other job,
money and egos, and
I know.
And so that's why. And you have employees literally, like, and people are losing their jobs or gaining jobs, like whatever it may be. That's why
mergers
it's not
happen
simple,
in other businesses all the time,
right? But like the Mountain West, if you're them, they probably, you know, whatever offer that existed, maybe they were never given one. Like if you're the Pac-12, what you just did, you didn't need a merge with the Mountain West. You get to keep everything. You're going to pay an exit fee and then you're done with them.
Yeah. I'm just like, I understand that somebody has to give up something in this scenario, but I'm surprised that it doesn't occasionally occur that somebody tries to pull that move in order to save themselves.
Well, and like
I would have thought the Pac-12 maybe would have tried it right after they got picked apart.
Well, like you were saying, they essentially are kind of doing that already, because Oregon State and Washington State their schedule is basically the Mountain West schedule. They're not able to participate in the Mountain West title game because they're not a part of the Mountain West yet. That's, I guess, the if you're Washington State and Oregon State, you want to be included in a conference because right now there's no argument that they have, even if they go undefeated, they're just like Notre Dame, where they're basically not in a conference because they don't have a conference title game, I guess. Because I don't, at least to my knowledge, I don't think they're playing
a
Pac-2 title game.
They don't let them play in the
Pac-2
title game.
Regardless of how bad they'll be, they'd be playing in the game.
That, I mean, and again, it is a two-team conference because this merger doesn't take place for a couple more years.
2026.
They're a two-team conference for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And they got a year left on their media rights deal. And they're going to get to cash all those checks just between the two of them. And they're probably going to help pay some of the exit fees for some of these teams to convince them over. Because, again, they are doing a favor for the two Pac-12 teams. Someone did say for the meantime, they are the six-pack, though. In the meantime, meantime, until they add two more teams, they're the six-pack. That's a badass name. And you should absolutely lean into that until you get two more teams.
But they'll never
six-pack.
Unfortunately, they will not be full members while they're the six pack. They'll be eight by the time they're actually members. So they'll never actually get to go through a season with only six teams. It'll be an eight pack. It'll be an eight pack at that point.
That's no good. They can't go by that.
I think they should rebrand as the
six pack.
Yeah. Or the eight pack in this case.
Get Anheuser-Busch on board, man, and just call it a day.
The one thing, I know you and I have disagreed on this topic throughout the show today. The one thing I think we both can agree on, the only thing they have going for them truly is the name. It still does carry some weight to some people. The most casual fan has heard of the Pac-12. Like, you know, like that's the whole reason why they're not just saying, let's take the Mountain West name and do our, like, and merge with them. They're like, because our name in their mind is still valuable. And I think it is to a certain extent. The question ultimately is going to be the TV dollars. Can they get two teams to get to eight? Okay, fine. But what's the TV deal look like? Right now, Washington State and Oregon State are on like CW or something, aren't they? Aren't they on the CW?
Yes, that basically
is they're on like One Tree Hills channel. That's it.
That's the deal that they currently have with the Mountain. Well, this is the problem though. ESPN is not going to jump for them because they've got the ACC, Cal, Stanford. The Big Ten. But NBC's not jumping for you because they've got
Oregon. But maybe Apple TV
Oregon.
Does. There's a lot of streaming services trying to get in the game.
Yeah, but isn't that... Do you want Apple TV? You're already... More people get the CW, I think, than Apple TV right now. I know that it's brand recognition.
I'm not sure.
I know that it's brand recognition and all that stuff, but I think you would... It would behoove the Pac, whatever you want to call it, to find a way to get an NBC, an ABC, a CBS, somehow a CBS Sports Network had been doing stuff with the Mountain West. Find a way to get your games nationally televised because...
Was there an argument
I don't know if they have a draw from adding Cal to be on big CBS at night.
Well, I don't know if they're going to... Because they're going to be a group of five conference, so there weren't many games where, you know, Mountain West games were on big CBS. There's a handful a year. I think what will happen, this is where the Mountain West is in trouble, if you... Huh? Had your games in contract with CBS Sports Network and these other, they're going to say, we're not going to carry that network when that deal expires. We'll sign a new deal with the Pac-12. That's where they'll get the similar TV.
The one thing, the TV bubble stuff was always overplayed because if anything, the one thing we've learned about TV and radio, if you want to be honest, is that everyone has prioritized purchasing live sports. So you might not think that they don't have the Big Ten's deal on the market, but I guarantee you there's someone interested in buying the six packs TV media rights deal. I did look it up, by the way. The CW averages 81,000 viewers. Apple TV Plus has 25 million subscribers. You might have kicked Apple TV down a little too hard. No one's watching the damn CW, according to this. And their entire audience is 18 to 49-year-old women. I do not think that is the Pac-12's premium audience.
You never know. You never know.
Who knew you were a big fan of the CW? I don't know.
I've genuinely never watched. I don't think, to my knowledge, I've watched anything on the CW.
I told you,
he's
a big One Tree Hill guy. One of the biggest CW shows.
I might have watched like a rerun of Seinfeld if they even had it on CW at the time, a long time ago. I don't know.
The most popular CW shows of all time, The 100. Anybody watch that?
I don't know what that is.
No. Riverdale.
Drew, I'm surprised.
Anybody? My wife
likes Riverdale. NASCAR Xfinity Series is coming to CW in September. That's all you, Drew. You are going to be watching the CW.
The Xfinity Series is on the CW. I've yet to watch it.
Well, it doesn't premiere until September 20th.
And he said his wife watches Riverdale. He watches the second most popular CW show of all time. What about Vampire Diaries? You catch that one?
No. Okay. I haven't watched Riverdale either. That is somehow the Nixon household is apparently CW
watchers.
Like,
well, but you said your wife watches Riverdale, you and I both know, as somebody, two people who are married, you and I both know that there's at least one show you've seen a lot more of than you would have seen had you not been married.
Yes,
I guess I just assumed
that,
it was Riverdale. But yes. Sorry.
No.
What is it? What is that show?
It's on Hulu.
Minus Chicago PD.
Only Murders in the Building with Selena Gomez.
That's a great show. Martin.
It is a very good show. It is a very good show.
Great show.
She got me into that, and that's one of the shows.
And Scooby-Doo, right?
What's the one?
Well, Scooby-Doo was already.
The one I want to know is, Drew, the one you wouldn't watch if you didn't, if your wife didn't make you. I would never watch a single episode of Chicago PD if my wife did not watch that show. I'd never catch one. Or Gilmore Girls. I've seen a lot of Gilmore Girls. That might have been a CW show. I've seen a ton of Gilmore Girls. I would not have watched that show, and it's fine. It's not like it's
offensive. I watch more movies because of my wife than shows, I think. She isn't as much of a show person.
Sure.
We all watch more of a... Somebody did mention this. Scooby-Doo is on the CW as well, by the way.
See, you've been watching more CW than you think, man.
Apparently. You are the biggest CW fan on this show.
I've been watching way more of that.
I guess so.
Have we gotten to this question? I made that the random question. What's the show?
Unintentionally.
You had watched some dating shows, I think, in your last
relationship. Yeah, when I was in... Love is Blind and stuff like that. I actually haven't watched... I guess... I don't know. They're probably on season 7 at this point of that stuff.
You've seen
My wife Love does Island, not watch those shows,
Love
actually.
Is Blind, all that stuff, man. I haven't watched any of those in a long time.
It's never too late to pick them back up, you know?
I guess so.
Just save it for the next girlfriend.
It's football season. No time. No time.
There you go. Grinding tape.
Playoff baseball around the corner.
Go to watching the all 32.
Think of that. A new episode of that betting show is out a little bit later on today before we get to kickoff of Thursday night football. Have a good rest of the day. We're back at it tomorrow, 10 to 2, right here on 96.5 The Fan.